Genesis 13, the message tonight is the fatal choice of Lot. I want to read a few passages, one quite long, but it is necessary. So first of all, in Genesis chapter 13, it so happens that God had blessed Abraham and Lot to such an extent that they were not able to stay in the same location. There was contention between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. So this is what came out of it. Verse 13:8. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and me, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt, take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou take the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. So Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. Now, let's read about their wickedness in chapter 19. So wicked are they that in chapter 18, God says, Their cry has come up to me, and I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And what is so sad is in this 18th chapter, evidently, Abram knows how wicked they are. And he prays. And finally, his prayer for 10 righteous men in the city for its salvation is answered. Now, chapter 19. This is quite long, so listen to this outcome of Lot's fatal choice of the well-watered plains that took him to the city of Sodom. And the two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them and rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he urged them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men that came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out unto them to the door, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, forasmuch as they are come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back, And they said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and drew near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and brought Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So this is the answer that God learns. And the two men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whomsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of the place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the Lord, and the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters that are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. But he lingered, and the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy loving kindness, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest evil overtake me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come forth thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot came unto Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the land went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar. Please notice, he said he could not go to the mountains. Please give me this little city, Zoar. And it was given to him. But notice what happens. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he knew not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with my father, Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in, and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose, and lay with him. And he knew not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, we must look in 2 Peter 2 and read God's comment. We would not know what was taking place in the heart of this man, Lot, but God has told us in 2 Peter 2. Verse 6. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, having made them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that this is a horrible story that we have read, both of the physical destruction and of the moral destruction of your creatures, the ones deserving it. The other one, our Father, having brought it upon himself, we pray that we shall learn from this. Let us know the choices that we make from day to day. Our God, how wise, how keen we are to make those choices that enrich our lives, bring us wealth, give us pleasure, and how foolish we are in making the choices that will bring glory to God, even though they are unpleasant to the flesh. And so we pray, our God, that we shall learn from this fatal choice of Lot, not to make his choice, to make the choice of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So help us this night, we pray. We thank you for the blessings of the day, our God, thou hast been gracious to us. And so, again, as thy word has been read, teach us from it, by thy Spirit, we look to you. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness, as you have promised. And bless the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is what the Lord said. He that loveth his life loseth it, and he that loseth his life for my sake saveth it. You say, how could that be? He that loves his life loses it, and he that loses his life for my sake saves it. I've read you how this brief proverb that Christ spoke was fulfilled in Lot. Lot had a choice. And he had begun so well, he had decided to go along with Abram when he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he went along well as close as he was with Abraham. But what happens is that God had prospered them, and the land did not have enough room to support Lot's cattle and Abram's cattle, and so God gave him an opportunity to choose. And Abram put that choice before him and said, you may have anything that you want. If you go one way, I will go the other way. Now, make your choice. And the choice he made was only bad in this sense, that it took him to the vicinity of the city of Sodom, and he decided to live there. If you read the story through, you'll understand that at first, his tent was toward Sodom, but the next we read about him, he is in the gate of the city of Sodom. He's with these Sodomites. He's living among them. And we would never have known this. But his life there was a life of misery. And there was righteousness in him. And it said that when he saw the wicked deeds of the Sodomites day by day, it said it upset his righteous soul. Well, my question is this. Why did he not leave? Because sometimes, once you're weakened spiritually and you get to a certain place, you're not able to leave. But what happens is this, that God, in his goodness, is doing two things for him. First of all, Abraham, the friend of God, is praying for him. And also, God, knowing that he will not leave of his own choice, sends angels to assist him and dragging him, literally dragging him out of the city. That is the goodness of God. I have seen it. I'm not able to understand it because I've never been addicted to drugs or drink. But it pulls a man down and he never seems to be able to recover. And when God tries, he lifts if he will allow God to lift. But if not, God leaves him to himself and his life is destroyed. Even though he's righteous, his life is destroyed. And this is what happened to Lot. He made a choice, and that choice not only gave him wealth, and he was expecting position and respect. You see, he wants to be an important man in the gate of the city of Sodom. But what happens is this. The Sodomites would make a decision for evil, and Lot would want to make a decision for righteousness. And we learned a little bit from chapter 19 how the attempt for Lot to bring in some degree of righteousness upset them, and they criticized him, and they said, not only are we not going to listen to you, but we're going to do worse to you than these two men that you brought in. Now, I could have read you also how at one time when Lot was in Sodom, that kings combined and went and took Lot and all his possessions captive and escaped. And then Uncle Abraham had an army of over 300 men and followed those men that had taken his nephew captive and secured his release and brought him home. Now listen to this because it's most important. And when the king of Sodom saw Abraham coming back with all the captives that the enemy had taken and all the possessions that they had taken, the king of Sodom said, now, he said, give me all the men and you can have the goods. But what Abraham said was this, and think of the difference between his decision and Lot's decision. Abraham said, I'm not going to take even a shoelace of all that we have. The only thing I'm taking is what the young men have eaten. It's all yours, lest you say, I have enriched Abraham. Thank God for such a man. He's the victor. He should have had control over all the men and all the possessions that they brought back. But he said, I want absolutely nothing. Lot is just the opposite. He should have learned from that experience to flee from Sodom, but instead he remains there, and he cannot become a part of it, and at the same time they will not accept him, but he has not the strength to leave. And so finally, what causes him to leave is not his own will, but the grace of God. It speaks about God being merciful unto him. Being merciful in what way? Well, he had been merciful in sending angels to deliver him, but Lot did not want to leave Sodom. None of those associated with him wanted to leave Sodom. But it said, God being merciful unto him, caused these angels to persuade, to take them by the hand, and drag them out of the city of Sodom. And so this is the mercy of God. And this is the story of Lot and what happens when you make a wrong choice. You're not just able immediately to reverse that decision, but sometimes it lingers on for years and years, and sometimes it so affects your life that you're ruined forever. And that's what happened to Lot. So think now, the choice that he made, it looks like it would have enriched him and given him exaltation, prestige, position among men. But instead, he had no respect. He had no position among those men. And when he left Abram, making the choice of the well-watered plains, he was wealthy. And he had everything. But at the end of the day, when God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, Lot had nothing. Where he lived was gone. All his cattle were gone. All his possessions were gone. Everything that he had ever had, it was all gone in a day's time. Think of that. And so, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And Lot loved his life in a sensual, selfish way. And Lot lost his life. And Abraham hated his life. And because of that, he preserved his life. After the fire fell upon Sodom, not one thing was missing from Abraham and his possessions because he had made the right decision. Had God given Abraham a choice and he had chosen first, he would not have chosen to be associated with Sodom because when he met the king of Sodom, he wanted nothing to do with that king. He wanted nothing of his possessions. He said, "You take everything." And thank God, when he refused the king of Sodom, it says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, came to meet Abraham. And so that's the difference. And so when we're making decisions in life, let us remember that he that loveth his life in a sensual, selfish, greedy manner, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. And then you cannot always get it back. This is what the Savior says also. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Once you gain the world, you can't get it back in exchange for that soul that you gave up for it. And this is what is so sad. That the choice that you make not only affects you at a moment of time, but it affects you for the rest of your life. And let me tell you, you who have any influence over young people, beware of where you let them go, what you let them see, and what you let them do. For this reason, the two daughters of Lot were supposed to be married or get married. And so little were they like Lot, that righteous father-in-law of theirs, that when the angels told Lot that God was going to destroy the city, they said, "Now you go and tell anyone that you're associated with, tell them what's going to happen and save their lives." And Lot went and told his sons-in-law what God was going to do. And they thought it was a big joke. They thought he was mocking them, and they disregarded the warning that he gave. Now, this is a sad thing, that these two sons that were married or were to marry his daughters, they were destroyed in the destruction of Sodom, and all other men were destroyed that could have married the daughters of Lot. But what happens is this. And how did they ever get such a thought in their mind? Such a thought would never come to the mind of a young woman of God who had been trained in the things of God and not exposed to the vile sodomites and lesbians and other lewd practices of the city of Sodom. I want you to know that. But the things that had been going on in Sodom, why, they were familiar to his daughters. Do you think you can keep them sheltered? They knew everything that was going on. And all of the vile sexual sins that were being committed, why, it was just a common practice, and nothing was thought about it. And so they go a step beyond. Not sodomy, and not lesbianism, but incest. That's what comes to their mind. They say, we have to have seed for our father. Do they not realize that God, nor even Lot, would desire children by means of incest? But they say, why, our father has to have seed, and there are no men to marry us, and so what we will do is to get our father drunk and lie with him, and that way he will have children. Think now. If you had a daughter and such a thought came in her mind, would that not horrify your soul? And yet that thought is going to be in her mind. At times I have seen some of the pictures going from one channel to another. I've seen the songs they sing, these young people, and all of these bands that they sing for just a moment, and it's vile, the suggestions that they make, and all the music that they hear, and all the practices that they see, and all that they are taught about sexual indulgence. Why, what thoughts would you expect to come to their mind? Why, this sin is permitted, living with a man without being married to him, having illegitimate children. Why, they're no importance to those things. So everybody does it. And so what we will do is to go a step further and commit incest with our father and have children for him. And therefore, what we are doing is a good thing. I say that even Lot, in all his weakness and failure, would have rebelled against such a thought. But what happens is this. Just as Noah drank wine and became drunk, what happens is that Lot, and this is what I'm thinking, here is Lot, and he's lost everything. He had this little city of Zoar, and he was unable to dwell in that city. And now finally, he goes to the mountains, and he's dwelling in a cave. And I can well understand why the man would want to be drunk. Why? To wipe out the thoughts of everything that has happened in his life in the past. Where is your wife, Lot? She looked back with the lust of her soul. She was dragged out of the city, but she wanted it so badly that she looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Well, what about all the wealth that you had? That's been burned. Your home, that's gone. All the position that you had? I never had any position. All of it is gone. And so what are you now? I am destitute, living in a cave, and all that I thought that I could be, I've never become. And now I'm destitute. And I can well understand why the man would want to get drunk. I can well understand why those that are unsaved would want to get drunk. If I were unsaved and had no hope and had no joy of living for the Lord Jesus Christ, why, I would want to get drunk. Why? Because you can forget your troubles, you imagine things, and why, it's a wonderful time when you get drunk. That's what I'm told. I remember one man saying, why, even though I had no money when I got drunk, I was the richest man in the world. And even though I was a weakling, when I got drunk, I was as strong as any man. And this is what drunkenness does to you. And so they drown reality by drink or by drugs, and that's the way they survive, and that's the way they get through the world. But you and I have a Savior to whom to flee, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. And so instead of what alcohol can do to you, that is unreal, we are filled with the Spirit of God, and that replaces drugs and alcohol, and that is our joy. And this is what the Lord Jesus says, "As for the saints that are in the earth, they are my delight. They are the ones that I treasure." And the psalmist says, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand." And that's what happens when you are filled with the Spirit. You love to be with the people of God, and you love the people of God, and you love the Word of God. You love fellowship. You continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. It's your life, and you enjoy that life. And even though you may not have everything that Lot had at the first, you have much more than Lot had. This is what Paul says, "As being poor, yet making many rich." You can take the poorest Christian, and yet with the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ, you can make any poor sinner in the world rich in a way that the riches cannot be taken away from him. But what happens is that his life is ruined, and evidently there was not that righteous desire in the hearts of his daughters that was in his heart, and so they go along with this. And then the Moabites and the Ammonites spring from them, this incestuous union, and you read and see what happened and how God has to deal with them later on. Just as the Ishmaelites, how they deal with the Israelites later in life. So here is Lot, who made a fatal choice. He said, "I want the well-watered plain." Well, if you make a decision to have pasture for your cattle and a good place to live, and it does not take you from God, that is all right. But if you make a decision and the pasture and the wealth that comes with it takes you away from God, all is ruined. I've heard of some who say, "Oh yes, I'm getting a promotion and I'm going to this town." And the first question I ask is this, "Is there an assembly there?" "Oh no, but that's not important. I'll find some place to meet." You see, there is no conviction about gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Sodom, well, it's not as good a city as other places, so where you live is most important. And the environment in which you place your children and what you allow them to see, these are of the greatest importance, because the last we ever see of Lot is this drunken, incestuous man in a cave, destitute. How terrible. And yet he was a righteous man. The Bible speaks about, "You shall be saved, but so as by fire." And so that's the only way that Lot would be saved, so as by fire. But what would he have to give to God? Was he ever called the friend of God? Why, of course not. Nothing complimentary about Lot except this. He was a righteous man, and that inward spirit that was his, it was convicted, it was upset because of what he saw, but he had not the strength to leave those things. The Bible says, "Flee youthful lust." It says, "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." But even though you're a righteous man, if you do not have that strength of God, you do not do what God tells you to do. And instead of being an overcomer of evil, you are overcome by evil. And Lot made that fatal choice, and he passes into obscurity with sorrow. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our God, with fear and trembling, we read about this righteous man, because thou dost know that all of us here profess faith in Christ. We see that even though he is righteous, it does not mean that outwardly he will live a righteous life, that outwardly he will make a righteous choice, that outwardly he will do for his children the righteous things. Yes, Father, Lot, a righteous man, and yet knowing that what he's doing is wrong, but not doing anything to reverse the decision that he made. And so, our God, let us not make that fatal choice of Lot, but let us make the choice of Abraham, and let it be said of us in the coming day, as it was said of him, Abraham was called the friend of God. Let us be your friend. You have told us the friendship of the world is enmity with God. But the Lord Jesus said, you are my friends if you do the things that I command you. So as Abraham, let us be the friend of God. And let us not be like Lot, the one who was ruined without God. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.